You saw the video. One of the voices on the video is the one you will next hear. I never met Dr. Tenbrook in his demanding and warm personality. I've been told it was both. I've met him in his writings, and I've met him in the aspirations of hundreds of thousands of people. And I've admired what he's left us. Of course, I met Mrs. Tenbrook, Hazel, as we often called her. And she had her own personality. And she was willing to speak her mind. In fact, if you wanted to prevent it, you should take a vacation and rest up, because it wasn't possible. And I've met Dutch Tenbrook, too. But I don't know him in the way that I knew her. I've met him only two or three times. But I've heard Dr. Tenbrook's voice. And I've heard some of the stories in Dutch's voice, and I could have found a complicated method of introducing him, but it seems to me the best is to say that he is the son of our first president, our founding voice, our founding spirit. Here's Dutch Tenbrook.
Dr. Maurer, thank you very much, and thank you all very much. Since I know I'm the only thing between you and walking out the door, or as Dad would say, probably the only thing between you and a big pitcher of beer and a pepperoni pizza on French bread, I will do my best to just take a few minutes. And what I'd like to do tonight is just share a few things with you and perhaps bring Dad a little more to life for you. Through my experience of him. And I'm going to start by telling you a story about Abdul Hakim Shabazz. Doodle, as we affectionately call him, is my number two son's best friend. I met him when they were in college together at the Munich campus of the University of Maryland. Later, they moved to Illinois, and Doodle became the press secretary for the Attorney General of the state of Illinois. And the state of Illinois funded Doodle's advanced education, and he went to law school in St. Louis. And he had a professor in constitutional law who had a policy that nobody in his class ever got an A. And the last day of the class, the professor had done quite a bit of talking about a certain couple of cases that were in front of the Supreme Court, and quoted my dad frequently, and then went off on a tangent and talked about Dad. He said he was a blind professor, and he did several things, and just had it all wrong. Doodle put his hand up and stood up and bravely corrected the professor. At which point, the professor said, "Mr. Shabazz, I'm going to have to give you an A." But I must ask you, you must have done years of research to get this information. At which point Doodle replied, "No, sir, his grandson is my best friend." For me, it is it is in hindsight that I really see a lot of what I grew up with. People like Perry Sundquist, Muzzy Marcellino, Earl Warren, always in my house, always meeting with Dad, always talking. Really had no idea of what was going on at that point, except after 12 years of growing up in that environment, I became the bartender, so I pretty soon learned what they all drank. Dad really, at the dinner table and the breakfast table, challenged each of us about life every day. He pushed us, always taking the other side of whatever we brought up in conversation, always making us think, always stretching us, always pushing us to look at the other side and to see the other perspective. And that, I think, was one of his greatest gifts, and it was born out in the formation of the Tenbrook Society, which is a group of his students, mostly in California, now attorneys and judges on Supreme and appellate courts, that meets at a regular basis just to relive their experience with Dr. Tenbrook. And I think it's a good example of one of the things that Dad did. He continually questioned and pushed. But you know, it was the walk that we did every Sunday morning at 4 a.m. that actually inspired me and really set the tone for me. Dad used to wake me up at 4 o'clock every morning on Sundays, and we'd get up and we would walk. And we would head up the hills, and those of you that have been around Berkeley know there are one or two hills there. We never started down, we always started up. And we walked at a rapid pace, and if you knew my mom, if you ever had the opportunity to walk with her, she was a very fast walker. My wife, Kathy, is 5 feet tall. She had a hard time learning to keep up when she went shopping with my mother. And that's because Dad taught Mom how to walk. And he taught me how to walk. And at one point on our walks, I asked him, why? There's nothing out here. The world's not going very fast. And he said, you never get anywhere going slow. And I really think that was the frame of his life, constantly challenging, working, pushing all of us to work and to do the things that he needed to do. In many ways, Dad seemed bigger than life. We were, when I was about 12, we went to LA and my dad gave a speech at a hotel, but he wasn't the primary speaker. And the host was sitting where Dr. Maurer is sitting, and after about the third time of looking at his watch, Dad made a comment, well, I see you're looking at your watch for the third time, so I guess I better draw my remarks to a conclusion. And, you know, that brought another point home to me, and I asked him about it on the airplane coming back, and he said, I thought I heard him, the sleeve come off his wrist, and I calculated he was looking at his watch, but it had a much bigger impact for me to make a comment about it than just to stop. And that's kind of the way Dad was. He saw those kinds of things very clearly. In many ways, he was bigger than life. He had vision that was far beyond what any of us would have thought. But you know, the great thing about my dad is that his vision is sitting here in this room alive today. And that vision, I'm sure, is definitely headed in the right direction. I remember Dad and I used to walk I'd walk to high school, Dad would walk down for his 8 o'clock class, and we'd part paths at the North Gate at the University of California. And Dad would charge on through the students, and I could always tell where he was because I could look back and see the students parting kind of almost like the parting of the waters. And you know, Dad believed in a big cane. He carried a 6-foot cane, and he swung it 180 degrees. Well, he had to do that because that's the only way that would allow him to move as quickly as he wanted to move. But I would encourage you not to take tentative steps, to swing that cane 180 degrees and charge forward. Thank you very much.
Now, Dutch, Dr. Tenbrook, as I understand it, Chick, people called him. Mrs. Tenbrook told us why that was. At the 1990 convention, they said when he was introduced at the School for the Blind, they introduced him as Chickobus, and there was a little misunderstanding, and so the kids thought he was Chick. In any case, there's a story about Dr. Tenbrook. On the campus at Berkeley, which was always a kind of a campus of unrest, at least during the time that I've paid any attention to Berkeley, it has been. And he was about to make a speech, as I heard it, and he needed some way to look out over the people and to be heard and seen. And he noticed a garbage can there. So he hopped up on the garbage can, and he needed a place to put his braille. And he didn't have any place to put it, so the old story is that some student was nearby and he grabbed him and stuck it on his head. But I understand that that story isn't true. I understand that person was you. I want to know if it was. He's talking at the moment. I'll have to ask him privately.